Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Mark Lassiter is actually sitting on the sideline for a second. Not long. And guys, y'all know that I'm sitting amongst them. And I got my mask that Coach Malzahn sent me four of them, and but this is all red today, and you got, let me see, one, two, three, you got the third 89 in here, of course that's Russ Wood, and then you got Phil Quigley in here, and I don't know exactly how to describe Phil Quigley.
It's a long discussion.
Well,
Coach,
it is a long discussion, but Cottrell, mm-hmm. Ronnie. Mm-hmm. They had a show for a while over at NSP. Great station. Love the people there. And they did a great job. They're Alabama people, folks. But that's okay. That's okay. We're gonna celebrate the life of Ray Perkins today. And we're going to talk a lot of Alabama stuff. I'm going to get out of here when all that's going on. I'm going to flip-flop over to Fairhope and we're going to have a middle school round robin with some my little bitty UMS Wright boys against Gulf Shores, Fairhope, and Daphne. And my little guys are just – they're just like little boys going on their first hunting trip. We're excited to go over there and play them, and I just hope that they don't clock us. So we're anxious to go over and play. Russ Wood, good morning, pal.
Good morning, Coach. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Ian and Coach Lassiter, always listening to you guys, and it's a blessing to be here, Coach.
Well, thank you, and Phil Quigley. It's always good to see and hear you. It's just good to hear that deep radio voice.
It sounds like he's trying to do an imitation.
Yeah. I'm trying.
Quigley. Yeah. Hey, Russ, did you give Coach his Alabama mask?
I did. You know,
well, that's not true. He didn't, because I there's only two things I would use it for.
Coach, it won't.
I'm afraid to ask.
Hey, Coach, it won't fit around your pants no more in the closet.
They're good things I would use them for, because I do. Russ knows this, Phil. Mm-hmm. I love the University of Alabama.
Right.
Always have. But, you know, when your children go there and your son mm-hmm. puts that uniform on, and if something changes. The lady cooking supper all the time made a lot of that change, too, now, I can tell you.
Coach, I got to ask you, though, you must have gotten a hold of Russ's kids, because they made the decision to go to Auburn, right?
Well, they were in my class, both of them.
Both of
them.
So.
There you go.
Yeah,
you never told me that.
He influenced them.
Yeah, I did. And good. That's good stuff.
Sure wasn't you would.
Guys, I know we've got, and Mark, you're going to have a blast with these two guys, and I'm just happy to come in. A couple of things I do want to do, though, and I would be remiss if I didn't do this, because this guy is a guy that's been great for us here at PSR. Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan. Of course, Jimmy Duncan's a 30-year congressman out of the state of Tennessee. Those guys can help anyone with governmental affairs. They have great influence in Montgomery. They have great influence in Washington, D.C. So many people rely on either the state or federal government. We've just been through that with these hurricanes for their businesses. And Braxton and Jimmy can put you in front of the right people. So if you find yourself in need of working with Montgomery or Washington, D.C., give my buddy Braxton Counts a call, 251-476-9900. Great folks. You go sit in their office, and they'll do anything in the world they can to help you. So appreciate everything that they do. Russ, you and Phil, Ray Perkins made a huge impact on a lot of people. He came into the University of Alabama handpicked by Coach Bryant. And, you know, I think one of the great things about what Ray did, and having talked to him probably 15, 20 times. And let me tell you something about Ray Perkins, and I learned this. Ray was great one-on-one. When you got him amongst a group that was reporters or wanting to fiddle and faddle with him, Ray could be pretty dog. I'm telling you, he could be point blank, and I didn't like to be around that. Mm. But he was always so kind to me, to Clay. I mean, just an amazing guy. You two guys spent a lot of time with him. Phil, 2 weeks ago, you were in his home.
Yeah, a lot of listeners may not know that he moved back to Tuscaloosa right. A few years ago. Both his daughters, you know, attended the University of Alabama. And, it's just, you know, he welcomes you into his home. And as you said, you know, one-on-one coach.
Amazing.
Just amazing guy. Yeah. And I've seen him, too, like you just described when he's around that group of reporters and things like that. And but, you know, that's business then. And the coach, you know, you're in the coaching ranks for a long time. But there's a lot of things that people don't understand about Coach Perkins. When my father was passing away with cancer, he called me every day to check on my father. And then had a little cousin in Atlanta that he made two trips to see that had osteosarcoma. Mm. And so there's just that side of Coach, as you just described, that the listeners really need to know about.
Yep.
And, well, I got a real good – Perkins story. I got to be a student coach in 83, his first year, and I got promoted into running the scout team, and Stedman Sheely was on our staff, and Stedman didn't care to be in the press box with Coach Donahue and Lewis Campbell, so guess what? I got to be in the press box charting plays during the game. But guess who missed the plane going to Boston College?
Coach Wood.
Yes. And Coach Kroom said, Coach Perkins needs to see you on Monday when we had the, you know, or actually Sunday when we got back. And he never said anything. He said he missed a plane one time. Just don't let it happen again. I was so scared. But he just told me to, you know, don't let it happen again. And you know, as a student coach, and Coach Kroom and Coach Campbell said, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have been nearly as worried about Coach Perkins as I'd have been worried about my daddy if I'd been you, Russ, missing a plane.
Well, I didn't tell him.
I can see Mac right now.
Exactly, Coach. Exactly. Well, put it this way, I wrecked my car as a freshman, and I didn't tell him for 4 years that's about right. What really happened.
Well, Russ, did you tell Coach what plane you took?
Well, you know.
And who was on the plane?
Well, I had to fly out with the president.
Yeah, so I figured. You flew up with Joab Thomas? Is that who? Yeah, okay. That's
what,
pretty cool.
What happened, Butch Ellard, our head trainer, I called him in the room. You know, we didn't have cell phones, so I called him in the hotel room. He said, well, how's your room, Wood? How's your room? I said, I'm in Tuscaloosa. You're what? And see, they counted players. They counted coaches. They didn't count student coaches.
Right.
And so when I missed the plane, he felt responsible. Luckily, we had an issue with helmets. We had four cracked helmets. He said, go to the Coliseum, pick up five helmets, and the plane is leaving at, I think, something like 1 o'clock. He said, you be at the airport at 11 o'clock. You call me, and you don't leave. You be there 2 hours before. And I said, what plane? He said, you're going on the president's plane. I said, president who? He said, Joab Thomas. So I got to fly in that Lear. Had dinner, had food. Coach, it was awesome.
I can imagine.
It was something. But I ran on the field, and Stedman was so mad because he was going to have to be in the pred spot. When I came on the field, he said, you better be glad you're here. He said, I was fixing to lose my religion on you.
That's funny. And Stedman now, of course, he played high school football in Dothan and great option quarterback at the University of Alabama. Now he's an attorney, and I believe he's in Birmingham. He may be back in Dothan.
Tuscaloosa.
He's in Tuscaloosa. In Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. One of the finest young men I've ever been around. And I know when we played, he was the game captain my first year at Northview.
Oh wow!
When we played Dothan High, and after the game, he's just such a, and I don't mean this in the wrong way. Because he's not any way this word doesn't describe, but he has got such a sweet spirit about him.
Absolutely.
And I mean, he's just got such a sweet spirit and just a wonderful, wonderful young man, and now a very prominent, I'm sure, attorney there in Tuscaloosa. So, Dothan High School, shout out to him on that.
Matter of fact, I believe his daughter was on the University of Alabama gymnastics.
She was.
Yes, she was.
Because, you know, Stedman married, her wife is a Wood. and I used to tell him that we were cousins. He said, shut up.
I can imagine what he said.
But him and Keith Pugh, if it wasn't for them two, they helped me in as a young freshman at Alabama. But Stebbins was a solid – he was a solid guy back then. And
you folks in Sylacauga will recognize that name, Keith Pugh. Of course, he was former
– Evergreen.
Well, he was former pastor at First Baptist Church in Sylacauga, and everybody loved him, and rightfully so. All right, we'll be back. We'll talk a lot of Alabama football coming up on PSR and Fox Central.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name.
We certainly want these Alabama folks to be introduced to our boys at Steely Dan. They are they're the voice of PSR. I mean, they are the guys. And even though we're missing one of them, we love some Steely Dan. Kurt Jarvis, that's a blast from the past. It's a great name to me. Gardendale High School. David Cutcliffe and I would – talk about some younger guys when we were at Banks High School, and Kurt Jarvis's name kept popping up from over at Gardendale. And of course, Kurt, played at Alabama, and I think played for Coach Perkins. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he was there 84, 85, 86 in that area. And I've flown on several of his flights, and I never did go up and speak to him, but a pilot, an amazing football player, a guy that loved Gardendale High School, loves the University of Alabama, and I think it's about a fifth, sixth, seventh round draft pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and a lot of great memories, and not knowing him personally, I've always heard great things about him. I'll tell you right now, he got me where I needed to go in a hurry. And got me there safe, and the landings were always smooth, and I was young, and the stewardess were always beautiful. That's all I can say. But Kurt Jarvis, welcome to Prep Sports Report. We're in our 18th year covering high school sports in the state of Alabama, and you, my friend, are very, very welcome on this show each and every time you're available. But thank you for taking Phil Quigley's call, and thank you for joining us real quick to share a little bit about Ray Perkins.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. That introduction you gave me, I need that about once a month just to make sure. That was very kind. So I'm not sure all my landings were that good, but I appreciate you saying that.
You know, Kurt, one thing I know the listeners always love to hear about is the recruiting process. Kind of take us through your recruiting process, because, you know, you were – and what's really ironic, I meant to say something to Coach Cleveland when he was talking about getting him in on a safe flight. You guys were the Gardendale Rockets or Jets? What were
– We were the Rockets.
The Rockets.
Yeah. So in a sense, you were rocketed in, Coach. But anyway, but Kurt, I love hearing the recruiting processes, you know, who recruited you and why you chose Alabama.
Right. Well, my recruiting, it's funny you ask that, because I was just telling the story last night to some friends, and they loved hearing what had happened. But anyway, when I started getting recruited, Coach Bryant, my understanding, what I was told from different people, that he noticed me my sophomore year when we were playing Hueytown. He had actually come to watch Jeff Park. And who ended up going to Auburn. Great, great tight end there for Auburn.
No, hey Kurt, not to break in, but I know Jeff real well. Thank you very much.
And War Eagle.
Yeah, no, great guy. Yeah, I mean, so he came to watch him. Of course, Jeff did well, and he always does well. But he asked some people in the stands or whoever his caretakers were as he came in. He said, who's the number 79 down there? He said, I want to get his number. So anyway, ends up calling, comes to our great, just an unbelievable honor to have, you know, Coach Bryant in my home having dinner. And did that two or three times. But I did notice that, you know, he wasn't in good shape. I think in looking back now, I think they found out later he had had a couple of strokes. And the media was kind of kept it under wraps and respected its health. So anyway, as the recruiting process went, and Coach Dye was recruiting me, Coach Bobby Wallace, Coach Dye, and Wayne Hall were doing a great job of, you know, recruiting me and making a relationship with my family. So I started leaning towards Auburn because I didn't think that Coach Bryant would be there my whole 4 years because of his health. And so I started leaning towards Auburn. My junior year, I committed to Coach Dye and on his back porch. And, you know, because Auburn was a great school to me as well. So anyway, the process went on with Coach Bryant to retire. And he had called me and told me that he said, I'm going to make an announcement here in just a few minutes. And I think he probably told all the recruits this, but he said that I'm going to be retiring. He goes, I still want you to consider Alabama. And I said, yes, sir. And I remember thinking, wow, I know some info nobody else knows. Of course, right after that, they announced that he's retiring. So it wasn't that I knew anything that much more than anybody else. So anyway, he retires, and they hire Perkins, obviously, immediately comes in, and he does his interview where they introduce him to the Alabama faithful. And Coach Perkins told me this. You know, this is going on what he was telling me. He said, after the interview, or after the introduction, he goes and has a staff meeting. And he says, who are the two guys we need to have at Alabama? And they said, Cornelius Bennett and Kurt Jarvis. And they said, but they're both committed to Auburn. And so he looks at Ken Donahue, who's a great defensive line coach for Alabama. He looks at him, he said, let's go. And so obviously, they stopped at – I kind of put it at this. They stopped at Cornelius' house first, but only because it was on the way. But I really know why they went to Cornelius' house first.
Yeah.
I mean, if Cornelius would have lived 2 hours past me, they probably would have went to his house first. And So they went to Cornelius' house, spent a couple hours with him, and then a few minutes later, he was at my house. And he was real simple. He came in very charming. My sister loves him. My mother just fell in love with him. Anyway, he comes in and he just said, he goes, I know you're committed to Auburn. He said, I know Pat Dye. He said, he's a fine man. He said, but I want you to give me a chance. He said, just give me a chance and let me show you what we've got planned, what we're going to do here. And at Alabama, and he said, we had to, I think, February 13th before signing date. And this was, the 1st of January, whatever. And so he said, just give me a chance. And I said, okay. And we gave him a chance, and I just started going, okay, I really like this guy. Plus I always wanted to go to Alabama. And of course, everybody thinks it was, oh, they gave us money and stuff like that. But that really wasn't it. It's just I believed in, not that I didn't believe in Coach Dye, but I believed in Coach Perkins. I believed in what he was going to do, and I wanted to be a part of that rebuilding process. And I'd always been an Alabama fan. So the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life was call Coach Dye and Coach Bobby Wallace and tell them I wasn't coming to Auburn. And that, to this day, and I've had to do a lot of hard things, that was the hardest thing I ever had to do because I love those guys. And anyway, so it came. That was the story. That's changing. And in the meantime, he said the same thing to Cornelius. Cornelius, I think there was some stipulation over Cornelius. He wanted to play tight end. for some strange reason.
Because he played for Savarese. He played for Coach Savarese.
He was going to be a linebacker. Well, I think maybe Coach Perkins kind of went, well, we'll let you play tight end for like 2 days and see how you do, but you're ultimately going to be a linebacker. And, of course, the rest is history on Cornelius.
Yep.
So, you know, Kurt, that's a great story. And, boy, you just took an Auburn guy all the way back to the – I don't even know what kind of feels it is with you and cornbread.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I fit in way better at Auburn.
No doubt.
You know, I like to hunt and fish. And I'm staying out in the woods. And,
hey, we hunt and fish at Alabama, Kurt. You know that.
And Kurt, you didn't like to go to all the fraternity parties either, Kurt. I mean, that wasn't something that you liked to do.
Well, after Russ Wood, they weren't going to let any more players back into the party.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it. I love, there was nothing wrong. I tried to look and go, okay, what is it about Auburn I don't like? And there was nothing.
All right, listen, we're on a hard break, so we got to get out of here. But let me tell you, I'm going to get you back on here. We're going to tell that story in a different way the next time. All right? We're going to make believe that you played at Auburn. But we're going to get you back on here, Kurt. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you, Kurt.
Appreciate you. Roll Tide.
Bless
buddy.
Christmas.
Roll Tide.
Bye. Bye.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Jack and Diane painted a picture of my life and my dreams. Suddenly it's crazy.
All right, welcome back to PSR and Fox Sports Central. You know, covering high school sports for the past 18 years, coaching high school sports, loving every minute of it. Those of you who have followed not only PSR but high school football are so very familiar with Hazelwood High School. And did I say that right?
You did.
Okay, but everybody's familiar with the Goode family. I can tell you that because some of the best high school football players that ever played in this state came right out of that little town, Town Creek, Alabama. And Kerry Goode is as fine a football player and as fine a man as has ever walked in Bryant-Denny Stadium or any other stadium in this country. He was a 1983 Freshman of the Year in the SEC. He was a captain of the 1987 University of Alabama football team. He was drafted by Tampa Bay. He also played for Denver and Miami. Then, unfortunately, he had some injuries. And right now he's facing an uphill battle. But I can tell you right now he's hitting it right in the mouth with a whole bunch of people that are supporting him and love him. And it is an honor and a privilege to have Kerry Goode on Prep Sports Report. And as a high school football coach, Kerry, you were always a young man that gained the respect of coaches and players. And I want you to know how much we appreciate here at Prep Sports Report you being a part of our show this morning, pal.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. Every morning, wake up and get my boxing glove on and try to fight.
You know, Kerry, I've known you, Chris, and Pierre for a long time. And what this family means to Alabama, the state of Alabama, to the University of Alabama, and that little town as Coach was over here saying, Town Creek. I mean – And I got to say, we had to pick Coach Cleveland up off the floor when he found out that a couple of players that we just talked to had committed to Auburn and then decommitted, and they came obviously to Alabama. But Town Creek, I mean, you guys played for Ray Perkins, Coach Perkins, and obviously everybody knows what's taken place that he's passed away, and this shows to honor Coach Perkins. But, you know, you guys up at Town Creek, is this, and I'm doing this in the honor of Coach Cleveland right here because he's getting ready to leave out. Was there any Auburn fans there in Hazelwood? I mean, was it all Alabama? Because, I mean, I know you got your cousins, Antonio Langham and Tarrant Lynch, but, I mean.
We had a few.
Okay.
I had a cousin that actually go to Auburn. Courtney Rose. And then I had a few teachers that tried to steer me to Auburn. But, you know, Auburn came into Hazelwood before Alabama or any other school did. So they got a jump start, but they kind of lost momentum when Coach Perkins, well, actually, Coach Lewis Campbell was recruiting on Coach Bryant's staff, and Coach Perkins just picked it up from there, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Kerry, that's good stuff. And let me tell you something. I may be an Auburn fan, but I can tell you this. I've always been a Hazelwood, Alabama fan and a good family fan. I can tell you that. And for many, many years, Kerry, I was a hardcore Alabama fan. And then my son signed with Coach Tuberville at Auburn. And, you know, that kind of changes you. So don't let these guys say that I don't have any Alabama blood in me, because I do.
Well, you know what really happened before I went to Alabama? Chris was being recruited, and it's the same year that Bo Jackson came out, and Chris was a running back as well. And on signing day, Coach Dye called and said they had a lot of too many scholarships. And as my dad, Chris could walk on for the first semester, and they would put him on scholarship in the spring. And my dad asked him one question. He said, "You expect me to turn down scholarship just to walk on somewhere?" So that kind of left not a great taste in our mouth, but we ended up kind of moving in the other direction.
Hey, I don't know, Coach, do you realize, I mean, I'm sure you do, Hazelwood, and you know, tell the listeners about this. You know, I think you guys had something like 15 state titles. I can't remember how many state titles. But Hazelwood, you know, like, you know, a lot of small towns, the high school doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys merged with, I believe, Leeton and Colbert County.
Courtland. They merged with Courtland, which was our rival school. And they've had a few growing pains trying to merge two rival towns.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, what I just didn't, you know, to me, you think it would have been Hazelwood that would have stayed open. You know, this is the one that produced all the championships. And, I mean, what do I know? I went to Alabama.
Yeah, well, that'd have been like Off and Elba trying to merge. So it'd be a tough one there, Kerry.
Well, Kerry.
Well, you know, the merger happened kind of like, I would think, Baltimore Colts moving to Indianapolis. It happened in the cover of the night before anybody could really realize what was going on. And there was a big upheaval of it, but it was already done before, especially any of the guys that played college ball found out about it.
Well, and that was a heartbreaker for a lot of people, Kerry. I mean, people that follow pro sports and follow those games, that was a heartbreaker. But myself, we in Sylacauga, where I grew up, we merged when, 1969-70, when a year that Randy Billingsley, who later played at Alabama, we merged. When we merged schools, we brought the black schools came into integration. Yeah, and it was hard for everybody. Mm-hmm. It was hard because there was a great school called East Highland, and they had won many, many, many state championships and had great athletes and came into Sylacauga High School, and it was a tough, tough time. Luckily, we had great leaders in our school system. But the merging that forced people to go to school where they didn't want to go to school. But thank goodness we had great people, great leaders that brought us together, and it ended up being a great situation.
Coach, you know, that makes me think about someone like yourself, a coach, and what the coach means. And you know, this is what the show is about today. And Coach Perkins, what he's meant to the players. I think the coach, Kerry, wouldn't you agree that the coach has a lot to do with this too, of helping the integration?
No doubt. Whatever groundwork the coach lays pretty much dictates what happens. I think in Coach Perkins' case, you know, you're following the legend. And that was tough. That would be tough for anybody. I just feel for the guy that's coming in to follow Coach Saban is gonna
have the same problem. That's true.
Hey, just a quick note, Randy Billingsley. You know who coached him, Coach Rick, in the 69 All-Star game, don't you?
No, I don't.
Mac Wood.
That is true. I did know that. I did know that because Coach Wood told me about that.
Because Randy, he used to come talk to Daddy, and he came to his funeral and spoke to me about that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we're getting short on time here, Kerry, and we do appreciate you being here, but – you know, Coach Cleveland brought it up. We know about Kevin Turner, what he went through. We know you were there for him. But just really quick, and as Coach Cleveland said, it's been a strong, you know, battle, strong fight. I believe you're on your fifth year of ALS. But, man, I tell you, I've never seen anybody that's been such an inspiration like you. I mean, you just fight every day.
Well, you know, it's one of those things you were taught at Alabama. And for my case, high school as well, you know, whatever battle it is, you can't crawl up in the corner and just wilt away. You got to keep fighting because you never know what that next play or that next day is going to result in.
Well, Kerry, you're exactly right, and Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And you live that every day, and I want you to know that every Saturday morning before we start this show, your name will be on our prayer list, and your name will be called every Saturday morning. You keep fighting, you keep battling, pal, and thank you for taking time with us. All right, bud.
Need all the prayers I can get.
Well, you keep battling. Thank you for so many great, great memories and moments of athletic competition, and it's been amazing to watch you play and now to watch you grow and continue to grow as you're growing in this battle.
Well, I appreciate it, and anybody that want to help support the fight, you can go to goofoundation.org and donate, or there are other merchandise on there that you can purchase, and it goes to help other ALS patients and families in this battle.
And we will be an advocate for that. I can promise you that. We will be an advocate for that 52 weeks out of the year on PSR. I can promise you, Kerry. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Kerry. Love you, brother.
Thank you, Kerry.
Take care. You know, guys, when I think about that, of course, we're on in Childersburg. Mark was formerly the head coach in Childersburg. I got to think about a guy named Lee Carpenter. Lee Carpenter played at Auburn. He just passed away this past year. He battled ALS for over 30 years. 30 plus years. An amazing, amazing man. One of the finest young men I have ever known. So it's not just, you know, it hits everybody all over the country. And, man, God bless Kerry Goode and the Goode Foundation. Hey, we'll be back with more PSR and Bobby Humphrey when we return.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
That's a great segue for Bobby Humphrey. I can tell you that. Look out behind you because somebody's chasing number 26. I can promise you. Just don't get on a boat with him. Don't go fishing with Bobby Humphrey. He catches everything. Before I do that, I want to tell you, if you get fishtailed like Mark almost did this morning going into the tunnel, your car gets hit, you have a bad problem with your automobile in a collision, I want you to call my buddy Chris Garris at Premier Collision over at 1177 Sledge Drive. They're closed today, but they're open from 8 a.m. till whenever everybody's gone, Monday through Friday, 251-478-4500. That's Chris Garris at Premier Collision, the best that I've ever been to. Great group of guys, treat you like family. Donuts and coffee. I'm telling you, it's the real deal. Go see Chris Garris at Premier Collision. Bobby Humphrey, good morning, pal.
Guys, how y'all doing this morning?
Man, I got a bunch of yo folks in here, Bobby, and I feel like I'm covered up. And, Bobby, I know that whenever you're in Mobile, you listen to FM Talk 106.5, and I know you are the biggest fan in Birmingham of Prep Sports Report. Is that not correct?
That is exactly correct.
Man, we going to make that spot and we going to roll with it. But I want everybody to know, this guy, guys, we got Russ Wood and Phil Quigley in here. And Mark Lasseter sitting on the sideline, but we're fixing to put him in the game, Bobby.
He's in the press box, Bobby. Yeah. He's in the press coach. Box.
But I'm gonna let these Alabama.
How are you guys doing this morning?
So Bobby's always
so good, hey, Bobby.
Boy, he's such a nice guy till he gets on a boat. Randy Bergen. Randy said he'd never caught a fish with Bobby Humphrey because Bobby was catching everything on his left and his right and in front. So, but Bobby, thank you for joining PSR this morning. I know we're gonna talk about Coach Perkins. But I want to tell you how proud I am of your son and the job that he's doing. And I know you are so proud of him, but I want everybody to know he got all of his athletic ability from his mama.
Well,
oh, he had to think about that one, Coach.
So I don't even have a comeback on that one. You're right.
Bobby, I'm out of here. I love you, pal, and I look forward to talking to you soon. And for you, Roll Tide, buddy.
All right, Roll Tide.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, welcome in, Phil Quigley. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Phil? How you doing?
Doing great. Hey, as you know, a wonderful gentleman, coach, passed away. I knew he meant a lot to you, Bobby. We just had Carrie on, Good, and I know you know the Goods very well, and Kurt. But just what did Coach Perkins mean to you? I'm just straightforward. What did Coach mean to you, Bobby?
Oh man, he meant a lot to me. I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Perkins. I remember when he recruited me. At the time, we were living in the housing projects in Hilton Village, and he came in and sat down in the projects and put his tie in his shirt. And we sat down, and he put his elbows on the table, like we put our elbows on the table, and braced himself, and we ate Dreamland ribs. And
ooh, dang, good going.
And man, he was just he was just one of those down-to-earth, hard-nosed working people. Because, you know, obviously from Pelham, Mississippi, and he grew up tough, and grew up, you know, poor, and worked his way to the top. And I think that experience he had as a kid growing up, that's the same type of way he wanted to kind of treat us and raise us, because, you know, when he had us there for the few years he had us at Alabama. And that's what I respect most about him, man. He really cared about the person and the family.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Bobby, good having you on. And, you know, I was there at Coach Perkins' first year, but, you know, the years you were there, you know, the way he just kind of coached everybody, it was special, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, very special. You know, Perkins is kind of, you know, because of his zeal to be successful, mm-hmm. he learned the offense, the defense, and he knew all the special teams. Now, he didn't coach all of them. But I guarantee you that he was the only coach on the sideline that had the headset that can flip to offense, flip to defense, and flip to the special teams and know every call that's being made. He was just that smart of a guy, and, you know, and worked his way up to the top, and that's the way he was successful. He didn't he didn't want to micromanage, but he wanted to at least know what was going on. And he knew every offensive play, and he knew every defensive play that was called. So very smart, intelligent, and just hard-nosed. I can remember we were playing a Tennessee game back in 86. And this was the this was kind of like my breakout game. We ran the toss sweep. The entire toss sweep and a few dives, maybe through one pass. We ran the toss sweep the entire first half of the game. I had a little over 100-some yards in that first half. And we go in at halftime. And Coach Perkins, you know, addresses the offense. And I can remember him saying, we're going to run it until they stop it. We're going to run it until they stop it. And we going and he just emphasized, we're going to run it. We're going to run it until they stop. We came out the second half. We ran a toss sweep again the entire second half. And he's just one of those coaches when it worked. He wasn't no flashy guy, just tough note. We're going to line up. We're going to block your guys, and we're going to out-tackle your guys, and we're just going to go shoulder to shoulder, helmet to helmet, and just beat you guys off the ball and just physically beat you. And that's the kind of guy he was.
You know, Bobby, we coach, before we're coming up on break, did you want to say something? But anyway, hey, Bobby, look, we are so proud to have you on and the things you've done in Birmingham, and I've gotten to know you know, for a while here. But we want to thank you for coming on and talking about one of your coaches, and I know that he meant a lot to you. And so thank you for being here, and Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby. Hey, and, you know, 5 years ago when our sons played in the All-Star game, so proud of your son for what all he's done. Mm-hmm. That was really neat being up there in Montgomery that night.
Yeah, that was a special moment, man. That's them some proud moments you never forget. You just keep them in their memory, and you know, you're excited for how kids grow up and develop and become successful. That's all you ever want, is just for the people that are around you and you're engaged with to be successful, and I think they've done a good job in doing that.
Thanks, Bobby. Hey, Coach, you're in the chair now, so you're taking us out, right?
That's right, taking us out. Bobby, thank you so much, pal. You know, we'll be right back in just a moment. We're going to have Coach Steve Savarese join us on the Prep Sports Report after the big break.
Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. 52 weeks out of the year. We're glad y'all are with us this morning. I got some guests in here with us, making this Saturday morning extra special for all of us Alabama fans. We are remembering Ray Perkins this morning, as he passed away this week, had a huge effect on a lot of lives, and we're going to talk about him some more in a few moments. Got Phil Quigley in here and Russ Wood joining me this morning, and right now on the line we've got a good friend of mine, Coach Steve Savarese, the head of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, the executive director. And before he says anything, Coach, I just want to tell you, thank you and thank our board for all that you did back in the spring and summer to allow the kids in the state of Alabama to play sports. It was wonderful. We got through all of the fall sports championships for all. Many states across this country didn't play. Thank you for being a leader on that and what y'all did. We really appreciate it, buddy.
Well, first of all, good morning to everyone, and thank you, Mark. Thank y'all for having me on this morning. Steve Savarese didn't do anything. He just works for a great organization with a great board. You know, without the support of board members like Terry Curtis and Jerome Woods from District 1, who never wavered with the data presented by our medical advisory board, we wouldn't be where we are today. So I'm just thankful to work for a wonderful organization. More importantly, I'm really glad to talk with you and Russ and Phil and everyone this morning, and thank you for having me on, and I hope your families are healthy and well.
Everybody's doing good at my place. How about yours? Everybody good?
Everybody's doing great. Thank you. You know, if I could get Russ Wood to pour a little concrete in my house, I'd be trying to get him over here.
And you know, I mean, he's just, you know, as Russ has gotten older, he's starting to move a little slower. You know what I mean, Mark?
Yeah,
hey, come on, Coach. You know, I made the last tackle without a helmet on, so I got an excuse. So.
Well, I understand.
And we can put some crimson in that concrete for you. We sure can.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach Sav, this is Phil Quigley. And I got to say this. There's two quick things, Coach Lester. First of all, I don't know if anyone knows, this guy is a great guitarist. I used to go to Mass with Coach Sav over at Christ the King. He was in the choir. Did you sing too, Coach, besides play that guitar?
Well, I did sing a little bit. That used to make me be a little lower than everyone else.
But I just want to continue on with Coach Lester just said, because the last several years I've got to be the 6A South host, and when the Super 7 comes to Tuscaloosa, got to see Coach Savin after the 6A championship game was played, and I agree with Coach Lester. I mean, what a wonderful job! And I know Coach Cleveland's not here, so I'm sure they do just as fine over at Auburn. I know he'd appreciate that. But obviously, this past year it was in Tuscaloosa, and you guys had. I mean, as Coach Lester said, I mean, with the things that have taken place this year, it's been a trying year with COVID. But still, the season came off, did a great job, and there were some things that I guess in a football term from a baseball player here, kind of some interference and things like that. But, I mean, just some of the quick things that you guys had to do. I mean, it came off great.
Well, again, we have a great team, a great medical advisory board. You know, unprecedented hero is Dr. Scott Harris, our state public health director, who's been under a tremendous amount of pressure but works with us on a weekly basis. Dr. Eric Mackey, our state superintendent, Vic Wilson, Ryan Hollingsworth from the Administrators Association. Everybody just worked together for the benefit of our students. So, you know, everything has a positive, and one of the positives that came out of COVID was it allowed us to form different relationships and all work together for the common goal of students. And I'm prayerfully thankful it worked out well. I sure miss Christ the King. I miss when I was there with Father D.C. Mm-hmm. It was great. And I'll never forget a story. We had beaten Hoover in the state championship. And when I was at Daphne and they interviewed me, and they said, well, Coach, are you going to celebrate tonight and have a good time? And I said, no, sir. I said, I got to play guitar at 8:30 in the morning. And if I'm not there, Father D.C. doesn't care whether we won a state championship or not. So I got to be there. But I love Christ the King. God, it was a just awesome time in my life. And it's still where our children practice their faith. So it's a wonderful church.
Hey, Coach, it's Russ. You know, being a coach's son, you know, with Daddy and – you know, with Coach Lester and I were talking this week, and, you know, what you did and what you accomplished. You know, being a coach, you know, and seeing the seniors in that last game, be it a playoff game or the last game of the season, is so important, you know, for the seniors to have that moment. And for all those kids that, you know, around the country that didn't play, but like Coach and I were saying, these kids that got to play this year, these seniors – you know, St. Paul's and, you know, Spanish Fort representing us down here, you know, in the state, you know. But just those seniors getting to play their senior year, you know, all the younger kids could, if they didn't play, they would have had, you know, another year. And it was important. But those seniors and what you did for the state of Alabama and all the kids, and I know Coach Laster's the same way. He was, you know, we were very appreciative of the effort and everything that happened. Just to see those kids playing that championship game was really special. Just
well,
want to thank you for that.
It's always special to watch our kids play in the championships. And again, I reiterate, this has been a wonderful team effort. Don't forget our member schools. They abided by all the guidelines. They worked tirelessly in their schools to mitigate the virus and have done a great job and have some tremendous challenges ahead through winter sports. But without our schools, we couldn't have gotten through this and their cooperation. And those unheralded heroes like teachers and coaches who go in the schools every day when they have an opportunity to access the virus, you know, it's they're the real heroes.
we just put a plan in place with the help of a lot of people, but the boots on the ground, the teachers, the coaches, administrators, those are the ones that need to be heralded.
Coach Sav, you know, we got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but I wanted to just let you talk a little bit about the All-Star game today there in Montgomery and how that's going and how people can I think you can still go on GoFan and get tickets. Is that correct? Or just tell us whatever you want to talk about.
You can get tickets. The game is on the NFHS Network and the AHSA Television Network at noon. You know, we offer it to all the cable, I guess you would say, cable channels all across the country, cable companies, and we provide it for free. And so we hope that someone in Mobile has picked it up. But if not, you can watch it on the NFHS Network.
Coach, I appreciate you joining us this morning, buddy. It's always good to hear your voice, and I hope you and your family have a very, very, very Merry Christmas.
Well, the same to y'all. I wish you all very, very, very Merry Christmas and a great 2021. And we have so much to be thankful for in 2020, even though we face some challenges, it's provided us some opportunities. So God bless you all, and I hope you have a great holiday.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, Coach. Thank you.
You know, it's great having Coach on. I love getting to chat with him for a minute.
Exactly. You know, and I was telling y'all earlier, you know, our family is a four-generation all-star. Daddy coached in it. I played in it. Hunter played in it. And last year, Coach Murdy, the tennis coach at UMS, and Coach Cleveland, she got to play in the Mississippi, Alabama, all, and that put a four-generation of the Woods playing in that event. So it was really neat.
That is neat.
You know, Coach, I know we're up on a break here, but I think you said it best, and Coach Cleveland and Russ, I mean, this has been some trying times this year. 2020 has been trying, but look what took place. And obviously they had the best in there to do this, and he's one of the best in the country, Coach Sav.
Absolutely. He's a great leader. I know he's very humble about it, and I know there's a lot of people out there, and you know he's right about teachers and coaches and administrators on, you know, in the right in the fray every single day they go to that school
every day.
And so, you know, we're thankful for all of these folks. We're going to come back here in just a minute. We're going to have Walter Lewis is going to join us, and it's going to be, you talk about some guys who he played some ball during some tough times.
Yeah.
It was some tough times for the University of Alabama, but Walter's got a great story. T.R. Miller High School. We're going to bring him in after the break and have a little chat with him. Stay with us here on Prep Sports Report.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I hope everybody's doing well this morning. We are covering a lot of ground today about a fine, fine football coach and a fine, fine man, Ray Perkins, who passed away this week. And we have one of his quarterbacks who is going to join us now. Walter Lewis is going to join us from T.R. Miller High School in Brewton, Alabama. And, Walter, I got to tell you, I've never met you. I've seen you play. Never met you, but I have a, we have a connection now. My middle son, Landon, is coaching wide receivers at T.R. Miller. He started there last year, and he lives in Brewton and just absolutely loves it. And I've told him a little bit about what I knew of Brewton before he went there, and your name came up, and I told him what a tremendous football player you were for Coach Riggs back then, and just what a job you've done at Alabama, did at Alabama. And then the kind of person that you are and the man that you are. And we just appreciate you joining us on this show this morning.
Awesome. I'm excited about being a part of it. Absolutely.
Hey, Walter, I got to tell you, this is Phil Quigley. Of course, I wasn't football like you guys. I was baseball. But I'm sitting here next to a guy that was telling me a story about how you guys – now, this is where I'm bringing it up, being a former baseball. The double play. Wood said you guys could turn the double play the best.
All day long.
you hey, the Red Sox, what we Walter, the Red Sox back in the day.
Yeah, Woods held down second, and I had shortstop.
There you go. There you go. We could flip it.
All day long.
But Walter, getting back to Coach Perkins, I mean, we've had Kerry Good on today. We've had on Kurt Jarvis. We've had on Bobby Humphrey. Just keeps getting better. Now we have one of his former quarterbacks on, and I know Coach Lester said it best, but what did Coach Perkins mean to you? And, you know, what – just tell the listeners, you know, that didn't know Coach Perkins, the man, but also the coach.
Ray was misunderstood by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And people get bent out of shape because of how they may have – pictured him, you know, at first glance, based on comments he may have made or things he may have done. You know, I'll give you one example. Everybody was upset because he took Coach Bryant's tower down.
Right. Yep. I was just thinking about
but
that.
But see, nobody never thought about why Coach Bryant had that tower. You know, he had that tower because as he got older, he could see better. You know, all the different fields and things that we were all practicing on to make decisions. That's just how he chose to view the team. You know, Ray Perkins was a hand-on type coach. So there was no need for that tower for him. He was on the field with us, experiencing what we experienced. And, you know, he coached us from that perspective. It was just a different coaching style, but that's just how he was. So he made the change. He decided to do that, and that was just the way he did things. Now, you asked me the question in terms of what he meant to me as a coach. In my career, that was my final season at Bama. I think Ray did exactly what Coach Bryant did as a coach. He stood in the gap for me. He took the punches while I played, and that's all I needed to have as a player. And he injected a sense of confidence in terms of what the task was for that final year of mine there. So, I mean, that was how he was as a coach. And then, you know, one of the things that I think Russ can relate to this, when we were players at Bama, all of the older players, I'm talking Stabler and Joe Namath and Steve Sloan, all these guys, they would come and they would be lovey-dovey with Coach Bryant out there at practice and stuff like that. And I'm sitting back wondering, I'm like, you know, we're scared to sit down and eat dinner with him. You know?
That's right. You're right. You're dead on, Walter.
And I'm like, wonder what it's going to be like when we're done. Are we going to be able to come and hobnob and, you know, slap each other on the back, you know, and say hello or whatever, you know? And I was just looking forward to that. But, of course, you know, Coach Bryan retired, and, you know, the month later he passed away. But Ray Perkins for me filled that void or filled that gap where after football was over, we were able to build a relationship, you know, from just man to man, person to person, and the persona that he gives off to people out in you know, in terms of just looking at a head coach and how he comes across, and like I said, he's misunderstood. Let me tell you something, Nick Saban's misunderstood. Yeah. You know, until you get him behind closed doors and you can just get a one-on-one with him. I mean, you know, it's so much pressure, it's so much tension, and it's so many things that go on as a coach and as a player at Alabama, being a high-profile individual, that you can't let your guards down because that's just, you know, you got to protect yourself. But Nick is different behind closed doors as well as Ray. Ray, one of the best persons I've ever been around. I mean, he did some things for me, just taking me under his wing as a player there outside of football. And then he would call me, and we would just talk about various things all the time. You know, and I'm kicking myself because 3 weeks ago I was going to pick up the phone and call him, and I got busy, and it slipped my mind. And, hey, I missed out on an opportunity. You know, before he passed, you know, but great person, outstanding coach. You're not going, I mean, I look back 40 years ago, look back with 40 years and look at Ray Perkins. Ray was an innovator in terms of the game and how it's played offensively. And he sold me on the idea of being the quarterback there at Alabama. He said, Walt, let me tell you what we're going to do. Because I was resisting the change. I was, because I just got to the point where I mastered the wishbone. I was ready to really put it, display it out there my senior year, and here comes a change. But he said, Walt, come by my office. I want to show you something. He said, you're a triple option quarterback, right? I'm like, yes. He said, well, let me show you something. This is how we're going to run a triple option, but we're going to do it throwing the football. And when he diagrammed it on the board and just showed me how this was going to work, and then the first day of practice having an opportunity to go out there and execute, I'm like, really? This is like taking candy from a baby. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, my 3 years at Alabama on Sunday morning, my room was right next to the bathroom, right? So on Sunday mornings after the wishbone, it takes me 30 minutes to get to the bathroom, you know. And then my senior year at Ray, I could get up, bounce up, you know, go to the restroom and go down and say hello to Russ.
There you go.
Come back in the same time period, you know. But we lost a great person, you know, Ray Perkins. He's a coach's. A player's coach, and just an outstanding person. Dude, he would take the shirt off of his back to help you. That's just how he was.
Hey, Walter. Hey, it's Russ. Hey, you know, and you answered, I think, the question I was going to have for you. You know, 3 years of running one offense with, you know, with Coach Moore and the guys, and then all of a sudden Coach Aarons and those guys and Coach Henshaw and those guys came in. And what was the biggest change? I know you just described it and you answered the question, but, you know, going from 3 years of you really knowing the offense like the back of your hand to going to a brand new offense, and Coach Perkins, it sounds like he took you to the next level and got you comfortable with it.
Oh, he did. And like I say, he was a serious salesman. But let me tell you about me. I was worried about everybody else picking up all the stuff. Because in the wishbone, you know how many pages we had in terms of our playbook? We had about 5 pages. That's it.
Yeah.
And then you get Ray's book. It's like 150 pages. You know.
Gotcha.
It reminded me of high school with Miss Wharton. She'd come in and tell us to read Huckleberry Finn or Tom Sawyer. First thing we'd ask each other, we look at each other, man, how many pages?
Exactly, exactly.
How big were the letters, you know? But Ray came in with a 150-page playbook. I'm like, shoot, I got to go get the encyclopedia to make sure I can relate.
I got you. Hey, Walter, we're coming up on a break. Man, we just certainly appreciate it, and I hope your family's doing well, and we want you to have a great Merry Christmas, and just, you know, good talking to you and love talking about the good old days.
Thank you so much, Russ.
Thanks for coming on with us there, Walter. We really appreciate it, buddy. Take care. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Walter.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Boy, that was awesome. That was awesome.
He kind of explained it.
Yeah, he did. You know, he said exactly what we all think. We know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've all been behind. I've sat and talked with Ray Perkins and Coach Saban, and I see him one-on-one. Not the same guy you see on TV.
Well, what he talked about, what all of us that play for Coach Bryant, we look forward to seeing him. Everybody, all the older guys said he's a different person when you graduate.
Right.
He's not your coach. He's your friend. And like he said, we missed that opportunity.
That's right. Come right back in a few minutes and we'll talk some more on Prep Sports Report.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I hope everybody out there listening this morning is having a wonderful Saturday morning. I know we are here in the show. We've got Russ Wood and Phil Quigley joining us this morning. Our buddy Rick Cleveland is coaching this morning. Got a little middle school basketball tournament going on over in Fairhope, and so he's had to go over there this morning to do a little coaching, doing what he loves, and
a good job at
it. He does a great job at it. He was at Bayside the other night. They came and played, and I was there at the gate, and I got to watch him coach, and just being able to watch Rick coach is a lot of fun, right? We got to coach together for a couple of years at UMS,
right?
And it was a lot of fun.
Coach, when's the first time, for the listeners, obviously, and the ones maybe that just joined us, Coach Perkins died this past week, former University of Alabama player and head football coach, Giants, Tampa Bay. What was your first experience with Coach Perkins?
The first, I remember a couple of things. One was at a coaching clinic. It was I graduated Alabama in 82, mm-hmm. and I'd finished. I had worked my years with Coach Bryant there in the athletic office, and just what a wonderful time. And again, we talked about how coaches are away from the media, away from the spotlight. Coach Bryant told a story one day in the office with the baseball coaches. He was in there talking about playing baseball when he was in high school in Arkansas, and told a story that was just unbelievably good. But Coach Perkins, I didn't really know what to expect at that first. It was a camp. It wasn't a clinic. It was a camp where we come work in the summertime. The coaches would come down and work, and kids would come in, and they'd put all the high school coaches doing things, coaching positions. And I loved to go to learn from the college coaches. Right. But I remember the first night we had a little social after the day, and the kids had gone back to their rooms, and the GAs and the student assistants were all handling them. And they brought the high school coaches to a big meeting room, and he just walked around and shook hands and talked, you know, just as like any other person that you'd ever want to be around and ever want to meet, mm-hmm. just as personable as he could be. And it wasn't for show. It wasn't because, well, you might have a player that – it was just Ray Perkins being Ray Perkins. And so there's a side that people don't see of coaches, like, because like Walter said, high, high profile. Mm-hmm. Everything they say yeah. is analyzed.
Right. When I was a student, you know, a coach when Perkins' his first year, and Steve Whitman was there. We had Stedman Sheely, a couple of GAs. And we sat around the walls, and they had the long coaches table. And Coach Perkins said at the end, they said that Coach Bryant, offense on one side, defense on the other side. And Coach Perkins would come in, and there would be a conversation going on with the coaches. And he would just blend in. And the first part of the meeting, it was just, you know, coaches talking coaches, you know. And I'll never forget Whitman elbowed me one day, and he said that never happened with Coach Bryant. It was always a one-way conversation.
Right.
He talked and you spoke, and that was it. Nobody else talked while he was there, but Coach Perkins was more blended in with all the coaches. It wasn't the boss and then, you know, the guys that worked for you. He was one of them, and it was really neat. I thought that's what all, you know, coaches' meetings were about, and Steve said, no, nah, back when Coach Bryant, it was one guy talking and one guy listening and right. one guy responding. So right. a little bit different.
You know something else, too, that a lot of listeners don't know about, because you know, obviously Coach Perk, he was from Mississippi, and he was brought up, he was from Petal, you know, right there by Hattiesburg. But, you know, after a lot of his college coaching had taken place, obviously he went NFL, college, NFL, and then Arkansas State, and he was at junior college in Laurel area. But he also coached at Oak Grove with Brett Favre there at in Hattiesburg.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Perk was the offense coordinator. Favre was the quarterback coach. Now, how many – I mean, think about it, guys. You guys played football. Can you imagine coming out to practice and you got Brett Favre right here and you got Ray Perkins, and these are a couple of your coaches. Can you imagine what that quarterback was thinking, you know?
Oh, I know, because, you know, Perkins played for Coach Bryant, and then he goes and plays for Don Shula. Think about those
right.
two guys.
And look at the quarterbacks he played with, Namath, Stabler, Sloan, and Unitas.
Right.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I had forgotten about Unitas, yeah.
Yeah.
So. I had forgotten about it. Man, that's some awesome stuff. You know, you think about that. I remember coaching in Alex City, and Doug Barfield took mm-hmm. over at Opelika High School. Mm-hmm. Now, he had a defensive coordinator, and I've got brain lock. He was the head coach at Ole Miss.
Bruiser Kennard?
Yes. Coach Kennard, that's exactly
yep,
who it
Bruiser
was.
Bruiser Kennard, yeah.
He came. He was his,
another Ken Donahue.
Yeah, he was the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Doug Barfield was the head mm-hmm. offensive coordinator and head coach. And I was remember we were going up there to coach against, and I'm sitting here, and I was up in the press box. Sav was on the sideline. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm a little bit out of my league tonight. You know?
Hey, and this is for Coach Cleveland, and I know he's not here. Maybe he's listening. And one of them's living in Daphne that I'm going to mention. Name the backfield for Barfield, one of the best in the country.
Okay, let me think if I got it right. William Andrews.
And I tackled
him. And he was the fullback. Dun, dun,
dun. Yeah, dun. William Andrews.
Right. That's right, fullback. Another a running back from Georgia.
Yeah.
Joe Cribbs.
James Brooks.
James Brooks.
But you did say the third from Sullivan.
Joe Cribbs lives in Point Clear, Alabama.
No, and the guy who,
Daphne, okay.
And the guy who ran for most yards in the NFL was William Andrews.
That's right.
That's right.
Man, you talk about a player.
Can you imagine? I mean, look, nothing, you know, to take away from the greatest Bo Jackson, nothing to take from Ronald Jackson. Can you imagine having those three?
Hey, I know all about it. In 1979, they ran the Power Eye with Charlie Trotman, right. And they had Byron Franklin as a wide receiver. They had seven NFL guys. They had a tight end, Reese. They had two defensive linemen, mm-hmm. Chucky, middle linebacker. He went to the NFL. They had a defensive back. We beat them, you know, in a tough game. That's when Stedman Sheely scored on the mm-hmm. last drive. If we don't beat them in 79, we don't win the national championship. But when I remember it being in the scouting report meetings, I was playing middle linebacker under Coach Rousey then. Joe Cribbs, William Andrews, and James Brooks in the Power Eye, guys. Mm. Think of how many options they could – you got to take away the fullback, you know, you're going to run the power – they could run the backside sweep to the weak side with one of the best running backs
right.
as your pitch man. And he had two lead blockers. It was crazy.
Coach, we were playing – what, a couple minutes here before we get to that? Coach, we were – Wood and I were playing a golf tournament with Joe Cribbs, and he told a great funny story. I'll make it quick. Obviously, he gets drafted by the Buffalo Bills. You said it. He grows up in Soledad, Alabama. Never seen snow, right?
Right.
So he gets there to Buffalo, snow everywhere. He wakes up. He says, oh, hey, we're not going to have practice today, right? So he gets a phone call about maybe 1 minute after he's supposed to be there. Cribbs, where are you? He said, well, hey, look, it's snowing. I know no way we can make it. You're not having practice. Oh, yeah, we're having practice, buddy. You realize you're not in Alabama. You're in Buffalo. And they said, I'll tell you what, you've got like 20 minutes to get here. He said, I was outside. He said, I didn't have a snowblower. I didn't have a snow shovel. I was using pots and pans, and neighbors were getting out and helping me shovel out the driveway. And he said, I get to practice. And coach told me, he said, look, I'm not going to fine you because I know you're from Alabama. But he said, that day I went and got me a snowblower. And he said, I realized where I was.
It was. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we lived in St. Louis, Missouri
right.
oh, wow.
for mm-hmm. a while. And I remember we moved up there in 1969. Mm-hmm. And the funniest thing about living in Missouri was I may have been the only Alabama fan that lived. I was born in Gadsden, and mm-hmm. dad and mom moved around a good bit. But anyway, we were up there, and it was 72. We had Alabama was playing Missouri in the Orange Bowl. They had a guy named John Staggers was the – Missouri did. Missouri. Anyway, whatever it was.
They opened up, in 72, on the opening night game.
That might have been it.
Because we were playing in Brundage, Alabama, junior high school on that it was a Friday night. It was a crazy game, but they opened up with Missouri. I just remember because we had to get to the bus to listen to the game.
But living in Missouri was a lot like what Joe, because I remember moving up there, you know, the first Christmas, I think we were up there. I was going to talk about this later, but I was kept talking about moving up there with my mom and dad and whatever. And I kept saying, hope we get a white Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all you hear about is white
right,
Christmas.
Right.
And so there hadn't been one at all, no white Christmas. I had never been around one, but then Christmas Day rolls around. And that morning we're getting up, and I look outside, and it's snowing. It was unbelievable. You know, it was just an unbelievable thing.
Did you eat at the Hill? Some great Italian food there in St. Louis at the Hill.
I didn't. We lived out in the country.
You were on the Hill.
Yeah, we were on the Hill.
But he did ride the Arch.
Oh, yeah.
I did go up in the Arch one time.
Hey, that thing, it's small. I mean, if you're claustrophobic, you're not going to ride
it. No, you're
that.
Not going to like that at all.
No.
Five Russ Woods would not fit in there.
Probably not two of them now.
No, they have five seats.
Okay.
But, Coach, what a special day. I mean, I say special because we're honoring Coach Perkins. And I know you as a coach, you know, when you get all these players together and they talk about a coach and you see the twinkle in their eye, it has to mean something to you as a coach when your players, you know.
Oh, that's what it's all about.
Right.
There's nothing to me. No financial deal, no anything you can mm-hmm. do. Nothing material is good enough to coach.
Tell the story me and you talked about the Bayside kids this year, those seniors that we talked about.
When we got ready to play, moment. I'll never forget this. Right. This may have been most – for me, it was probably one of the most meaningful times in my life as a coach. We were in Escambia County, mm-hmm. playing Escambia County, first game of the year. We're in the dressing room. Coach Lazenby's talking to our team, addressing our team. And I look around at our seniors, that are in the floor and they got their eyes on Coach, and some of them are like, we're here. You could see mm-hmm. it in their eyes because they didn't know if it was going to have a season.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sitting there, and I looked at them, and I went, my gosh, if nothing else happens this season, they got to do this tonight. And then as we watched that last ball game,
yeah,
mm-hmm. and I tough. Watched them again, and we got beat. Now that's hard, yep. but they played an entire season. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. We're about to take a break and head out for a few minutes. We're going to come back with a Grace segment, and Russ has got a little something for us. I'm going to share a little thing or two. Phil's got a little something, and we're going to share some things from our heart with you in just a moment. So hang around. We'll be back on the Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
This morning we have some guests in here with us, Russ Wood and Phil Quigley joining us this morning. Russ is going to give us a little short devotional about team.
Yeah, guys, I'm very blessed. I'm part of the FCA here locally with Dennis Hayford, our great leader. And I'm coaching upward basketball over at Eastern Shore Baptist Church. And when we have practice, we just started our season, and it's fifth and sixth graders, and it's just an awesome blessing to be able to share and do a devotion. And one thing I really stress with the kids, and we talk about things, and I asked them about team the other day. And Ian, I don't want to leave you out. I was blessed enough to have Ian in my Sunday school class. Ian, you know, Ian taught us. He was one of our great kids in our Sunday school class. But I always ask our kids, and I asked them the other day at our practice, and I said, guys, team. And I said, what does team mean to you? And, you know, of course, everybody came up with an answer, and a great answer. But what I really stress with them is team really means together, everyone achieves more. And with Jesus Christ, we have a chance to achieve all. So being a team, and it's just so neat to see these upward kids. It's a great organization. And if you have any kids, and you don't have to be in a travel league or anything, you got a kid that, well, he's not a good basketball player. It's not all about basketball. It's about growing these kids and develop them. And what's really neat is when they say the prayer, we try and encourage each one of them to say a prayer. And it's such a blessing to see the young people. And Coach, we hats off to you and Coach Cleveland. My dad was a coach. But, one of the greatest things that, has ever been talked about a coach, when Billy Graham said, coaches can reach kids, more kids in 1 year than most evangelists can reach in a lifetime. And that's so special in what you guys do. And if you don't mind, I'm going to share a real quick little verse right here. But for those who trust in the Lord will receive the new strength. They will fly as high as eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not grow weak. Isaiah 40:31. So if we keep God on our plan, we'll always have a chance.
You know, Russ, I've heard you speak about this a lot, and I do know you do a great job over there coaching these kids up. And you're right. It's not just about the sport itself. It's about, and that well said, team. The camaraderie, learning with each other, and respect. But there's something I want to talk about, too, that's very special to me, and Russ knows this, Coach. And there's an organization I worked with for a long time up in Tuscaloosa called Eagle's Wings, started by a gentleman and his wife, Jerry Pike and Sandra Pike. And their son had a rare disease called Marshall-Thompson disease. And I get so aggravated when I hear the state calls them entities. So, I mean, these young men and women are people. They're human beings, and they're called entities. I call them my special friends, my kids. And they're actually over 21. And this is an organization there that is on 92 acres. They're now building homes because they're outliving their parents, and it gets tough. But they have different I don't like to call them diseases either, because these are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. But, autism, Downs, just so many different things. But it's just neat. I've taken so many of my Alabama buddies over there. I've taken the Goods over, Chris and Pierre. I've been wanting to take Russ. Also have taken Trent. I took Trent Richardson over there. And they're really neat. And Coach, I'm sorry I didn't have an Auburn one to take over, but these guys are neat because
we can get Reese Dismusic over
there. There you go. But just to see their eyes, you know, and it could have been a junior high playing Alabama. You know, it would take them to the games. They just had fun, just being there and just being around people. And people tend to forget that they are people. They're humans. And I tell you what, Coach, it's called unconditional love. And when I walk there, when I get out of my car and I walk in and I see all of these girls and boys, and they have a big smile and they yell your name. And something just popped up on Facebook. It was a Christmas event several years ago that Eagles Wings had, and it was just really cool. And it just brought back memories. So I appreciate you, you know, allowing me to say a few words about Eagles Wings and what they mean. They're in Northport, Alabama, actually Coker area, and I think about these guys all the time, and I also think about friendship, and I think about you, Coach, and I think about Russ. I know Russ and I give an E, and I've met a new friend, but I think about the times that Russ and I spend together, and you know, we laugh, kid, cut up. We have a buddy that we go down to his house in Orange Beach, Joe Ferrer, the former chief down there. And I love watching these two because we took them out to a hunting camp of a friend of ours, and they just go at it. But you know what the long of it is? When it's all said and done, we all love each other.
That's right. You know, and that's what we were supposed to do. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, on this earth to teach us love, and then at his death, how to forgive. And, you know, I think about that man's life and what it must have been like. Mm-hmm. And from all those teachings that we've got, we find a way to live our life. You know, you were talking a minute ago about what coaches do and what I would give anything. I wish they could find a way to let coaches start when they're like 60. Mm-hmm. So then you really kind of really got a grasp of what you're really, really there for. Some guys get it. Mm-hmm. Some learn it as they go. Some learn it late in life. Mm-hmm. That what they do, mm-hmm. what you do, what you say. I have had kids tell me on Facebook, right? And they said, Coach said so-and-so in 1992 at practice one day. And wow. He quotes it.
Wow.
And he said, I've never forgotten that. And I'm going, everything you say can matter.
And just to you know, reiterate what you just said, Coach, is another FCA fact. And from any athlete, any sport, from the age of about sixth grade to their senior year, the most two words they've heard more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And if you ask a kid, what's the most two words you've heard more than any other? And, you know, they'll say different things. But you know what the answer is? Coach says.
There you go. Hey, really wow. quick.
How many times? Well, yeah. Why are you doing this? Coach said.
Coach said.
How many times you right. do? You need to work on this? Coach said.
Really quick. This has been about Coach Perkins today, too. And one thing I want to say really quick, and I know you got to wrap us up, Coach. One thing I always remember when he was around his players, and I remember when Bill Condon was down there, we had Coach down at Orange Beach, and I remember him saying, I love you, Bill. And he said, I love you, Coach. He loved his players.
That's right. Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. And if you can't do that, probably don't need to be in this profession. It's that simple. But, hey, guys, Russ, Phil, thank you all for being here this morning. It's been a fabulous show. I've enjoyed doing this and talking about and hearing all these names and great players from the past talking about their coach. Mm-hmm. And that's unique.
Yes,
and it's
it is.
Special. And I hope all of us learn something from today that, you know, what we do on this earth matters.
Exactly. We got to be an example, Coach, and you are, and we appreciate you.
And I want to say a shout-out to a guy I used to do a show with, enjoyed. He's the character, but Coach Cottrell, hey, we love you, brother.
Absolutely. Hope Ronnie's doing well. We hope all of y'all have a fantastic week, and I think National Signing Day comes up this week. That'll be fun. I think it's on Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah.
Hey, roll tide, Rick, Coach Cleveland.
Guys, we'll see y'all here again next week on the Prep Sports Report. Thank you for being with us today.